Hi, this is Clay Inferno, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is an interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life. And hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I in that Inferno, at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com, but you are here at ITThinkThisIsGreat.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I think this is great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think your business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Windows backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Links, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King David at Kevin Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in, and we are just 1 week away from Anime Expo, and the news that's pouring out of that place is pretty bonkers. We've got movie premieres from the likes of Prohmire and Rascal Does Not Dream of Dreaming Girl, and show premieres for Dr. Stone, Nekopar, and even the season premiere of My Hero Academia, which will be premiering like 3 months before it actually premieres on TV. There's going to be loads of great guests and even some hopefully fun panels and activities. And I am really looking forward to giving all of you my rundown and thoughts on this event when it occurs, especially considering that this will all occur during Boston Bastard Brigade's 10th anniversary. Now, this will be my first time at Anime Expo, and I can't say for certain what I will be able to report on, but my fingers are crossed that I'll be able to chat with some of the industry's top peeps, and maybe even a Japanese voice actor or two. I won't know exactly what will come out of it until I legit show up there and experience what the vibe is like, but it's going to be very exciting, so please keep your eyes and ears peeled for all the happenings of Anime Expo straight from LA. For now, though, let's get this episode started and head on over to our playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can find all of their music on cdjapan.co.jp, Yes Asia, Amazon, Apple Music, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record stores. We're going to start things off with Noodles, who just released a brand new album called I'm Not Sheep. And they managed to get iconic artist Yoshitomo Naru to design its cover. If you don't know Naru-sama, then do yourselves a favor and research his works. From I'm Not Sheep, here's Noodles with Goathead.
I have a song sometime for you.
Michelle Gunn Elephant with Bronze Master, a cut from their 1997 album, Chicken Zombies. Band members Yusuke Chiba and Kazuyuki Kuhara's most recent band, The Birthday, will be releasing a new record this August entitled Watch Your Blind Side 2. It'll consist of a couple of new songs, as well as a selection of B-sides, and self-covers of tracks Yusuke Chiba wrote for other bands. Back in college, I was introduced to Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett's hilarious and clever world of Good Omens, the nice and accurate prophecies of Agnes Nutter, Witch. and ever since that time, I kept hearing rumors about an adaptation of that beloved piece of work. Sometimes it involved Terry Gilliam, other times Terry Jones, but nothing came to be. Until now, with the release of the Amazon miniseries Good Omens. Penned by Neil Gaiman, as Pratchett unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago, the story follows the angel Azrael and demon Crowley as they are tasked to watch over the Antichrist after he's born. Unfortunately, a mix-up occurs with the duo winding up watching over the wrong kid. Meanwhile, the real Antichrist is out having a good time with his friends, unknowingly unleashing his true powers when his hellhound appears. The race to hold back the end of the world begins, with Crowley and Azrael attempting to save the world while the powers of heaven and hell do their best to just fucking end it all. And Good Omens is one hell of a hard book to adapt, as it's chock-filled with such amazing imagery that seems impossible to bring to life in a live-action setting. But holy hell, they actually managed to do it. David Tennant and Michael Sheen are just pitch-perfect as Crowley and Azrael, with the duo working off one another like an iconic comedy team. The jokes hit hard, and the visuals themselves are hardcore impressive, but it's how everything is tied together in these six episodes that makes marathoning this miniseries so easy to binge through. Granted, there is just one thing that I was sad to be seen cut from this adaptation, and that was the other four horsemen. Those who've only watched the TV miniseries, there are four other members of the motorcycle crew that is bent on ending the world, and they tag along as part of their final ride. And the names of these other four horsemen are Grievous Bodily Harm, Ensophones, who then renames themselves as Really Cool People, Cruelty to Animals, and Embarrassing Personal Problems, aka No Alcohol Lager, aka Things Not Working Properly Even After You've Given Them a Really Good Thumping, aka All Foreigners, Especially the French, aka Treading in Dog Shit, aka People Covered in Fish. And it's a real shame because these four characters were the ones that really stuck with me after I read it. But nonetheless, we have been given the Good Omens adaptation many people have been clamoring for the last 30 years. It is hugely entertaining, funny as hell, and is, in a sense, nearly perfect. Also, I may want to get those sunglasses that Crowley wears, but odds are everyone is going to want those sunglasses too, so I might stick out, not like a sore thumb, but as part of the average crowd if I wound up buying them. But anyways, you can catch Good Omens on Amazon Prime, and I do recommend reading the original book as well. It's a damn good read, and a damn good watch it has become. Up next, we have the band Methodical Beast, which features members of The Broken Broadcast, which featured members of King Philip. You know, I've been following James Regal's music career for a very, very long time, ever since I was back in college, so it's nice to see him evolve as the years go on. This is their debut single entitled Daylight.
See this pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste-testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings, digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
From his 2009 album, Reborn, that was Gokt with Koakuma Heaven. Outside of music is Gokt's impressive acting resume, which is about to get longer thanks to his starring role in an adaptation of the comedy manga Tonde Saitama, where he's playing the character of Rei Asami, and the character is supposed to be 18 years old, but Gokt is 46. Well, if anyone's seen him, this dude's fucking immortal, so he could probably pull it off. Now, one of my all-time favorite punk albums is the unfortunately out-of-print 2006 record Bubblegum Viking by Stans Punks. From that release is a special tribute to punk icons The Ramones that goes under the name Let It Rock.
Yeah. しのスーパースターを、yeah! 俺たちにできることなんてたった一つだけなのさ。優しさに埋もれっぱなしにはならないぜ。ペテンシズらしてヘイヘイヘイ、土足で入ってくるなよ。誰かに愛されたくって百の嘘をついているんだ。ああ、こんな夜に走り出すのをやめたのならば、オーイエー、俺たちなんて何も残りそうにないだろう。She said it's a lot. Let it rock, wanna be a rock. Let it rock, only tonight. Let it rock, wanna be a rock. Let it rock, only tonight. 生まれた時には何にもなかった。死んだら死んだって何にもなかった。例えば大きな
a special remix by Tulipomania and Richard Hartline. That was Figure Walking with Blue World. You can find the original version of that track on the Polaris Prize-nominated debut album, The Big Other. Figure Walking have a brand new release just around the corner entitled Vertical Horizontal, though an official release date for that album drop is yet to be determined. Now, Good Omens isn't the only thing that's taken nearly 30 years to be brought to life. Director Terry Gilliam has spent 3 decades trying to bring to the big screen The Man Who Killed Don Quixote. And it almost came true back in the early 2000s, but a viewing of the documentary Lost in La Mancha will show you why that didn't occur. But finally, after decades in development hell, The Man Who Killed Don Quixote is here. And it has been truly worth the wait. The film focuses on an advertising director named Toby, played by Adam Driver, who finds himself in the same area where he once made a student film about Don Quixote. Upon doing some digging around, he finds the elderly cobbler Javier, played by Jonathan Pryce, who played the famous fictional character in a nearby village. Not only is Javier still brimming with life, but he actually believes that he is Don Quixote. With help from Toby, the two go on an adventure that's filled with action, romance, and, inevitably, death. For a Terry Gilliam movie, The Man Who Killed Don Quixote is fairly normal, which is weird to describe one of his films, but anyone who has seen his works like Brazil and Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas knows that Gilliam has this incredibly wild side to his works, to the point where it feels rather cartoonish, which, considering he started out as an animator, is understandable. And you do get some of those elements in this film, but not as much as his other works. But what is very Gilliam-esque is the characters that the film is showcasing. The camaraderie between Driver and Price as Toby and Javier is simply magnificent, as it goes back and forth between being hilarious and pretty tragic. You laugh with Don Quixote, but then feel bad for Javier for having to deal with losing his true self. Driver's performance as Toby also makes him come out as someone who is either sympathetic or, to be blunt, kind of an asshole. But it's fantastic how much heart, be it a warm or cold one, that Driver brings to that role. Of course, the film finds a way to bring Toby's past and present together in one fell swoop, in a way that I feel like I cannot spoil in this segment. With that being said, there is some hidden meaning behind the title of The Man Who Killed Don Quixote, and it's a meaning that's not as clear as you would think it'd be. Nevertheless, this is a film that is turmoiled through countless levels of hell to come to existence, and the end result that it delivers is something that I'm sure both fans of the original story and of Terry Gilliam's work will truly find delightful. The Man Who Killed Don Quixote is playing select theaters and can also be streamed on Amazon Prime and YouTube. Do check it out. It's a fantastic film. One of the funniest anime this season is Isekai Quartet, which brings the worlds of ReZero, Konosuba, Saga of Tanya the Evil, and Overlord into the same realm. Here now is the ending to that show with Rie Takahashi, Sora Amamiya, Aoi Yuki, and Yumi Hara taking on the roles of Amelia, Aqua, Tanya, and Albedo. This is Isekai Girls Talk.
ちょっとそんなにがっつかないでよ。
別にがっついてなんかいないわよ。
いいえ、みんなより一個多く食べてたわよね。
あなたも大きいものばかり選んでいたの知ってますわよ。
あ、これもすごく美味しい。
キくん本当にマイペースだな。
かしましいからほど遠い。
やることなすことすべてバラバラ。
常識まるで立ち合わない。
この残念な会に祝福は。
魔法もスキルも道具もチートも役に立たない。
どうにもこうにも打つ手が見えないお手上げ状態。
爆発感情
説得失敗。
異世界だから仕方がないない。
ちょっと微妙な空気なんても、甘いもので笑顔取り戻せ。おやつだけは別腹。やっぱりそこには抗えない。あれもこれもとお口パクパク。やっぱガールズと延長中。この時間も悪くない。やっぱりいいじゃない。
Hey Robert, why should people listen to another retro gaming podcast?
You mean our cast, David? We do have to keep this short, you know.
Yes, well, I guess we should start with the fact we celebrate old school video games.
And we have awesome guests and game giveaways, don't forget that.
Plus our game show and your favorite segment, Random Select.
Don't remind me. Are we done yet?
Listen to our cast, another retro gaming podcast, part of RetroZap.com.
Finally, back to my beer.
間もなく明けるよ。生まれ変わる前のステージで駆け巡りたい。くねった細道をさよなら僕の着ぐるみたちよ。飛び回りたい武蔵野の空を。
That's a true feel-good track. Spitz with Yase no Polka from their 2013 album, Chisana Ikimono, one of the biggest bands in Japan, so much so that they're in the top 30 best-selling bands of all time in Japan. And for a group that's been around for 32 years, that's a damn good feat. From the streets of Cottbus, Germany, comes a duo by the name of Paralia. Their latest single, Hawk Hill, recently dropped, which is inspired by frontman Renee Methner's love-hate relationship with the town of Falkenberg. Here's a B-side from that record that goes by the name, On My Way Home.
Down to place.
54 Nude Honeys with I'm a Rubber Man off of their sadly out of print album, Drop the Gun. The band would break up back in 2007, and as much as I tried searching, I can't seem to find anything about bands that they might be involved with today. Oh, sometimes you can only find a dead end. Although on this specific album, 54 Nude Honeys had a guitarist named Fumi, who has since gone on to be in the band Polysix, who are still going strong. When it comes to the films of Jim Jarmusch, you need to know what you're signing up for before you head into the theater. His deadpan humor and slow-moving storytelling doesn't quite mesh well with mainstream audiences, but for those who are indie film buffs, his works are considered classics. So, what happens when his deadpan style enters the realm of zombies? Well, you get a film like The Dead Don't Die. The movie takes place in a very small town where Tom Waits is a hermit named Bob and the cops are Bill Murray, Chloe Sevigny, and once again, Adam Driver. It's a quiet place until it's revealed that the world's going haywire as the globe's tilting off its axis due to all the fracking going on. That's when the days and nights become longer and the dead start coming back to life. And it's up to these mellow cops and their foreign undertaker, played by Tilda Swinton, to clear out the zombies wrecking havoc. Jarmusch's style has his character speaking awkwardly and taking things rather slow. In a way, that's what makes some of his best films very funny, such as Coffee and Cigarettes and Broken Flowers. So those who are going into The Dead Don't Die thinking it's going to be like another Zombieland will be greatly disappointed. With that being said, as a fan of Jarmusch's works, it is definitely very entertaining. And one of the things that makes The Dead Don't Die such a delightful film is its ability to break the fourth wall. I don't really want to spoil too much about what's going on with that aspect, but let's just say one of the characters in this movie is a little bit too aware of both their surroundings and predicaments. Personally, I think it's the thing that helps make the film all the more funnier, especially when the characters are bantering like nothing's going on despite the world seemingly coming to an end. The Dead Don't Die isn't a zombie comedy for everyone, but if you're in the mood for something that's a little bit more odd than anything else in the theaters, I would highly suggest checking it out. A great cast, a snicker-inducing script, and some awkward timing, Jarmusch's latest film isn't quite a knockout per se, but after all the rounds or countdown, it still stands as an enjoyable experience. The Dead Don't Die is in theaters now, so give it a watch if you're in the mood for something a little bit weird. Coming up, we've got the J-pop trio of Mia Regina. Their latest album is Ray Ray Ray, which has them covering various anime and video game theme songs. And this particular track can originally be found on the PS2 titled Super Robot Wars MX. This is Victory.
Three, two, one, zero, never give up, oh yeah. Guy from IssuesProgram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out IssuesProgram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out IssuesProgram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Yeah.
Mental Slaughter on your eardrums. That was The Stampede with Mind Evaporator off of their newest album, A Marvel of Idiocy. Been very good pals with these dudes since my college years, with their drummer Chris Talon once upon a time being a co-host of mine when I was airing on WMWM Salem. Good times those were, and it's always a blast hanging with them at gigs and the like. Be sure to give The Stampede a like on Facebook, because they've got some good shit planned throughout the summer. Trust me on this one. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, on Twitch, and on the J-pop, video games, and anime amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Rook. Promotional consideration provided for this week's tracks from Figure Walking and Paralea, made possible by Shameless Promotion PR. And a thank you to Gary Hughes of Methodical Beast and Chris Talon of The Stampede for sending down their band songs. And one more special shout out to both Kristen Hirsch and Fred Abong for guesting on last week's episode of One on One. I saw them play at Once Ballroom a couple of days ago in Somerville, and now I see why Hirsch ranked higher than Joshua Hame on Spin Magazine's top guitarist list a few years back. But they're still touring the East Coast, so check the dates on that one-on-one post to see if they're playing in a town near you. On the next episode of Wicked Anime, John Star, AFLM, Security Guy Greg, and I chat about E3 2019, as well as the plethora of American cartoons that may be making a comeback very soon. That all happens this Thursday on the Nerdy Show site and wherever podcasts get their podcast on. Come celebrate B3's 10th anniversary with me at Anime Expo 2019 next week at the LA Convention Center. You'll find me wearing my trademark hat and Ichiban headband, as well as my No Borders, No Race t-shirt. I may also be jamming alongside 42 Believer during most of the con, so come on by and say hi if you see me on the show floor. Now, today marks the final episode where Guitar Wolf's C and Cola will serve as No Borders, No Race's theme song. We've had Seiji, Toru, and Ugg rocking these sounds as our gateway to the J-pop and alternative world for nearly 3 years. But the time has come for it to step down and let someone else be our podcast gatekeeper. When it comes back after Anime Expo, you'll hear a brand new No Borders, No Race theme song that, I shit you not, has been 4 years in the making. I cannot wait for you to hear it. Now, before we truly finish things off, as some of you may know, the Electric Sisterhood podcast show has just wrapped things up. For 641 episodes, Ninja Sista and Pandalicious have delivered their own unique spin on all things gaming and geek-related. But now that chapter of the Land of Esh has come to a close. However, the realm of Electric Sisterhood isn't going away. Rather, it'll soon be evolving into something special. I am incredibly stoked to tell you all about Ninja and Panda's new show, Black Compact. A video cast that'll have various guests popping in to talk about all things geek and non-geek related, including yours truly. This has been in the works for a very long time, and I am excited for both the sisters to finally bring it to life. No idea when it'll launch, but do keep a close eye on the Electric Sisterhood site for more information. That's Black Compat, always and, never or. A tagline that fits rather well also with No Borders, No Race. Give it up for inclusiveness, yay! We're gonna end things with a new track from Nico Touches the Walls. They just released a new album entitled Quizmaster, which consists of both electric and acoustic versions of all the tracks. Sounds like they took a cue from good old Frank Turner with that approach. From Quizmaster, this is Nico Touches the Walls with Kaizoku? And until next time, this is King Baby Duck, reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. but it sure helps. Hope to see you on the floor at Anime Expo 2019! This is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, from the Electric Sisterhood, and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.